Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Keep God first in your walk, baby, and that's bona fide talk. Welcome, welcome to Bonafide Talk, one of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country. We are delighted that you have joined us this evening. The show topic for tonight's radio broadcast is When a Man is Fed Up. Our featured guest for this evening is the ideal person to work with on this topic, ladies and gentlemen. He is the praise and worship leader at New Life Church in Charlotte, North Carolina,
like we discussed,
with the legendary Pastor John P. Key, songwriter for gospel artist Ernest Pugh.
New plan is going to begin on the 17th instead of today, so we're going to get hit with a pro race. You get that? Okay. That makes sense, right?
In Kirk Franklin's video, Are You Listening? A Song for Haiti, featured lead on 2012 Stellar Award winning CD, Pure in Heart.
Bill, do me a favor, try to make a phone call for me, okay?
And ministry slash vessel. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, our featured guest for this evening, music icon Sean Bigby. Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
I am well. Sean, you are one busy man of God. I certainly appreciate your taking time out to stop and talk to lead the discussion on when a man is fed up. Amen. Brother Sean, where were you born and raised?
I was born and raised in Henderson, South Carolina, a little country boy. Little country town called Henderson, South Carolina. Most people don't really know where it is and how to get there, but they may have heard of it.
I don't know.
Have you ever seen the movie Radio with Cuba Gooding Jr.? That's where that movie took place. Radio is a real person from Anderson, South Carolina. And he was a real young man there at one of the high schools there. He's still alive. He's about 80-something years old now. But Anderson, South Carolina is his birthplace.
Wow. How far by chance is that from Hartsville, South Carolina? I just left there a couple of weekends ago to visit some family.
Let's see from the back page, guys.
From Hartsville, that's about maybe 3.5 hours or so, somewhere along up in there.
Okay.
Now, Hartsville is down below Columbia. Hartsville is more so going towards the coast, going down towards the beach area.
Absolutely. Okay, very good. Brother Sean, do you recall the time period that you first allowed Jesus to be Lord and Savior over your life?
I do. I was probably, I got saved at a very early age, and I've always been a church boy, just always loved church, may not have necessarily understood everything that was going on, but I always loved church. But I do remember submitting fully around about my teenage years. Is when I really just kind of got serious about this is what I love. I love God. I love, I love church and I love ministry, music ministry, all of that stuff.
They go back,
and so that was the season. Around about my early teenage years, because very soon thereafter I heard the
sometimes
call to be a worship leader
and
didn't even know what that was. So
a lot of people
I had to really seek the Lord about what was next to come in my life.
Just switch a little bit.
Interesting. Sean, when did you first recognize that you had a talent for singing?
Wow. Well, I tell the story all the time. I grew up in a traditional Baptist church, and in my church, you as a kid, you were going to operate in churches, but you only had two jobs to do. You could either be an usher or you could sing on the choir. Those were the
only two
kids' jobs that you could do in the Baptist church when I was a kid. Well, I knew early on I wasn't about to stand on the door. I wasn't about to stand for a whole service and just be standing up for no reason. I knew that. So I jumped myself on the fire. At least they had seats and chairs. And there was a young lady by the name of Ruby Nell McCallum. She's going on to be with the Lord. Very sweet lady who saw something in me at a very young age. And she would actually have me come out and do harmony and kind of taught me harmony and try to harmonize with, you know, learning to harmonize with different parts or whatever. So, you know, a lot of times your kids' choirs and your little youth choirs, they may only do unison lines. Well, she had me to come and would teach me the harmonies, and she would sing the harmonies in my ear, and I would match her, and I would stay on pitch. And so I think then was, you know, kind of the start that I'm a little bit something different. So, you know, one of my choir directors at that time, Miss Cora Helen Wimbush, she would give me tapes to learn the leads on the songs, and I'd learn it just like the tape. If they had preaching, I would do the preaching part. If they had talking, I would do the talking part. But those people saw in me something that I didn't even know that was necessarily present at that particular time for myself. But as I began to grow and learn, I understood that, you know, I have an affinity for music.
Awesome. And, you know, Sean, my experience is that we see things in us that we don't quite see in ourselves at the time. But praise God for those that saw your talent immediately. Oh, my God, you're so talented.
Amen.
What made you sing gospel versus R&B? We all know there's more money in R&B. What made you go the gospel route versus R&B?
Well, like I said, I was a church boy, and
awesome.
I mean, you know, I fell in love very early on with church music, with choir music, with this thing called church and music ministry. And so even before I understood that it was ministry, even before I knew anything about people getting paid to do it, I was in love. I was head over heels in love. I used to love the choir anniversaries. I loved the musicals and things of that nature. And so I just always knew that that's where I was comfortable at. Did I have the chance to do R&B? You know, I would sing R&B and listen to R&B and do weddings and stuff, but it never gave me the same feeling that the church music gave me. I never, you know, I'm a church boy. I'm churchy to the bone. And so when I would do weddings or whatever, I would find myself, you know, trying to throw ad-libs in, and I was like, these ad-libs don't work because it's not churchy. It ain't talking about Jesus.
Right.
Don't make sense to me. So, I just knew. I knew from that point on that this was what I was supposed to be doing.
Awesome. Awesome. Sean, your voice is so anointed. Oh, my goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, when we return, our featured guest, Sean Bigby, and I will begin the discussion.
Hey,
this man is fed up. So listen, go ahead and get your Bibles and something to write with. You know how we do. This is so bonafide in our discussion. Right now, everyone is about to hear exactly what I mean about Brother Sean's voice. Here is one of Sean's latest singles entitled Never Go A Day.
So I wanna tell every man, woman, boy, and girl.
look back on this empire and see where everything was headed
on. My heart. Everyone say
your grace
has captured my heart.
I'm gonna get you one from the back because I don't have one on the floor. I think.
Oh,
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 that
means. Your grace. Everybody say, your grace, and your mercy has captured my heart. Yeah, your grace, hey, and your mercy has captured my heart. Yes, it has. Listen, everybody say, flowing like a river.
iTunes, on a CD Baby, on Google Play, on the Android Marketplace, wherever you purchase your digital music, you can go and get it. It's called Hashtag The Setlist Volume 1, great collection of worship music that I believe will be a blessing to your entire life. You can go and get that right now.
We're on the 150 of 590 pictures. Just move right along, okay?
Call with the number ending in 6195.
Right.
You're now
so this one comes with $150 mail-in rebate.
Or contribution to tonight's discussion.
Hi, Lady Solana. This is Robin. I'm just stopping in to say hello. Hi, Sean.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing good. Blessed, highly favored. How about you?
I'm wonderful. Very wonderful.
So
thank you so very much for having me.
$150.
You know what, I'm listening to your music, and I know you have some questions later when you get to the topic, but I just want to let you know I'm listening to your music. I love your music. I need to get up with you because I need some of that music, that good old heartfelt music and movie that I'm going to do.
Yep.
Well, definitely. You can definitely reach out to me. I'm on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram
might
and Periscope
Android,
and all those wonderful things. At Sean Bigby, S-H-A-W-E-N-B-I-G-B-Y.
Okay, I definitely will. Now, I'm going to hold on because I know I'm going to have some questions for you because y'all brothers, woo.
Indeed. Sean, let's tap in a little bit into what you and I were talking about before the show.
Or you can take the same tablet home
for
$38.61 and only pay $14.58
almost overcome.
So you can
even
do that?
What is it like?
That's right,
and
going to get the rebate. There you go.
Songwriter, singer.
having a couple of different hats, first off, I can't attribute any of it to just me being me. Outside of God obviously doing what he does,
I
have great, amazing people around me. I have great, amazing team who make the job easy. And so I'm just very appreciative to them. So anytime, for example, I've got a good friend, good brother by the name of Alan Parker. So a lot of times when I write a song or if I'm feeling something, I've written a couple of ideas down, I'll send it to him and let him put the background vocals on it. Just let him, you know, figure out the background, how he thinks it should sound, all of that kind of stuff. I'll give him a skeletal idea and he'll run with it. Alpheus Anderson, a great producer friend of mine. I can trust him with music and trust him with an idea. We can build a song together. So I don't think the dream works by yourself. I think, you know,
Amen.
You have to have those people in your corner and those people who have your back, who will jump in the trenches with you and help you to do something amazing.
If advanced technology is, I wouldn't be surprised.
Amen.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I know you can do Skype. Who's up there?
Romans 12,
verse 2. You know, kind of like answering the phone.
That is Romans 12, verse 2.
Okay, so this time, but 229 on the contract.
But be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Family, that's what deciding to live for Christ is. It's a change of mind, a change of heart, and change in a person's perspective. You know, Brother Sean, so often we hear of the many struggles of women, in particular among my top, you know, trying to find themselves, trying to find their purpose, trying to find out who they are in Christ. But what God
just
laid on my heart to address is what do men go through?
Right, sir.
So, Brother Sean, in your eyes, what do men go through in their search to find out who they are in Christ?
Favor, double check your contract, pictures, and videos. I'm going to get you a bag.
I think, well, I mean, you got so many different things. And I can only speak from the perspective of a black young single man in America. So let me start
Amen.
There. That's the perspective that I have because that's the perspective that I live. But I think one of the some of the biggest obstacles is, you know, we're portrayed as so many different things in the media, so many different things in society. And if you know, our young black men, if they look to TV, if they look to radio, if they look to movies and things of that nature, they'll aspire to be what they see. And so one of the biggest obstacles is, you know, one of the biggest obstacles is really having to have sit-down conversations. And our young men don't go to church like we used to. And we were made to go to church. When I was a kid, church wasn't an option. I had to lie and do little trickery type of stuff. I remember I told my mama that my shoes were too tight, and I couldn't go to church because my shoes were too tight. The first time I ever wore tennis shoes to church was because my shoes were too tight. So, you know, we used to have little tricks and little games. Now,
you know,
kids have options on those types of things. And you know, and so it's so important that, you know, you're hearing a word that challenges you and that pushes you to be the man that you should become. And so and I can't say that a lot of men get that. You know, and praise God for those that are hearing it and that are being challenged by the word, they are being challenged. And ultimately speaking, I believe that God knows exactly, you know, what the plan is for each and every person is, and he knows how to get to them. So, you know, I never stress when it comes down to that type of thing. I don't ever think that we're, as the church or, as Christians, in a losing spot. Because, you know, God ultimately knows how he's going to get his church out, and he knows how he's going to come back to get his church. So I'm never one of those type of dudes that believe, you know, oh my gosh, the church is in a bad situation. The church is exactly where God is going to be, and he knows exactly how to get to it. And that's just what I believe. But I believe that, you know, as a man and as a black man, especially right now in society in America, man, it don't look good. It does not look favorable to us. And so we have to, you know, we have to make sure that we're stepping up and that as fathers, as brothers, as uncles, as whatever, we're stepping up and being those role models, those examples that somebody can look to so that they can glean some knowledge and understanding on how to live this life as a Christian and as a male.
Right.
Amen. Well said, God.
Oh, shoot. Oh, okay. Oh.
now, Sean, at the risk of sounding like I am beating up on the church, which I would never do that, because it is definitely my strong belief that to date the church is the most organized and reverent organization in the world. I did some research. Some believe that church has begun to cater to women, that has gotten kind of soft, if you will. What is your take on that?
I can't necessarily speak to that as far as them catering to women. What I do know is church has definitely been run by women. And so, you know, that might be where people tend to think that church caters to women. Church is overrun by, you know, mostly women. And, you know, and that's the man's fault. We don't come to church. We don't stand up to do what we need to do. So, you know, women are having to do certain things. I believe this, and this will get people in trouble a lot of times with certain doctrinal beliefs. But I believe that there are certain positions that women are holding, not because they're called to it, but because they have to do it because men aren't doing it. I just believe that. I believe that there are certain places that they're having to operate in, and certain places that they're having to lead in because there are no men there to do it.
We have a call. We're going to ask you a question on that.
Okay.
Hello, Andre, how are you?
Well, I was basically calling in to say hey, and I was calling to also wish Sean much success. And
Thank you so much, sir.
I have one question for you. How long have you been with John?
I've been with him now 5 years.
Wow, that's a long time. I'm a big fan of John.
Yeah, I'm a big fan too. Let me tell you something. I have to make sure that I turn my fan off when we're standing on stage, because I sit and watch and I'm just like, man, this is still that dude from Show Up and Strength and Yes Lord and just all of those great songs. So I'm such a fan, and it's an honor to be able to serve him.
Hi, how you doing, sir?
Right. Amen.
Amen. Another legendary singer and pastor, John P. Key. Sean, you said that men aren't showing up.
You're right with you,
why is that?
Okay.
I think, again, because I believe our society and our culture doesn't force them or doesn't give them the leeway to have to. Now, I'm not saying that that's a scapegoat for every man or whatever, but I do believe that we live in a society where certain pitfalls and certain things have been easily accessible. Let's just say that. So, for example, and, you know, you've been watching the news, I'm sure, just like I've been watching the news, there are certain responses to the black man that aren't given to white people. And that's just it's just kind of where it is. So I think that plays a huge role. I think the role of the father not being in the house is playing a humongous role. There are certain things that I learned as a man just because my dad lived with, just because I was with my mom and my dad. There are certain things, certain ways that I treat a woman because I saw the way my dad treated my mom. And if you don't have that, if you don't have that as a boy growing up, I believe that you miss out on certain things, because there's certain things that a woman can't teach a man how to be a man.
Absolutely.
She can't be a father. She can't be a father to a man. So, I even get upset, and especially like on Father's Day when, you know, certain people will post pictures of their mom or whatever, and like, happy Father's Day to the best father I ever had, da, 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 da. No, that's your mom, and that's all she'll ever be is your mom. She can't. I understand she was a single mom and all of that good type of stuff. She had to fill both roles, but she is still just your mom. You needed a father.
Right.
You need a father. Even Jesus had to be verified by his father. And so a lot of people don't realize that. But when Jesus came to be baptized by John the Baptist, the Bible says that the heavens opened up and God spoke out of heaven and said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." Or translation today, "This is my son who I verify." I'm telling you that.
Amen.
You don't have any
so, Sean, you said earlier in the broadcast that you've pretty much always been a church boy. Was there something in your life that happened at the early age that was kind of like a turning point in your life that persuaded you to turn your life over to Christ?
I can't say that it was something early on. That I've had a wonderful life. I hadn't really done too many crazy things and anything like that. And I say that I'm delivered from certain things because I never got the chance to experience them. So, you know, drugs and alcohol and things of that nature, I never had a taste for them. I never did them clubbing, all of that kind of stuff. Never did them. And that's not a knock on anybody else. But I believe that me and God had a conversation one day, and I was like, God, I don't have that kind of testimony where crazy things happen and all of that. I've pretty much always been church boy. I've always been, you know, a dude that was in love with church. And he told me very clearly, he said, Sean, certain things that other people experience would have destroyed you. So I pulled you out early. And I said, okay, well, I'm good with that. Thank you so very much. I appreciate it. So there was nothing really, no really big, you know, huge turning point or whatever. Like I said, I grew up in the church. I spent time. My mom was the choir director. She was a choir president. So I went to choir rehearsals even when it wasn't my choir. I was in church all the time. My pastor at that particular time was a moderator in one of the Baptist associations. So, and he was a very well thought out pastor. So guess what? We were on the road with him. He had to do revivals. We did revivals. The church would go with him. So I spent a good bit of time in church from a very early age, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it, and I think, you know, one of the things that really made me give my life over to the Lord is my mom got saved in her later years. She got saved. We got saved actually the same year, back in 1985, at a revival. And I saw my mom give her life to God, and I said, well, my mom ain't going to outdo me. I know Jesus, too. I'm going to go ahead and give my life to Jesus. So and that's where we are.
That's all right. Hey, listen, if anyone has a question or comment or would like to participate in this discussion, feel free to do so. Those of you that are in the chat room, I see you. Feel free to post there, and you will get acknowledged. For those of you that are listening online, if you would like to be heard, dial 347-327-9688 and press 1. And, of course, for those of you that are already dialed in, feel free to press 1 at any time during this radio broadcast. Robin, did you have a question or comment with towards the end of the show?
God must be telling you something because I do. I was just wondering, I'm thinking about conversations that I've heard over the years. And Brother Sean, do you think sometimes it could be the image of the men that I've seen in church that run other men away? I remember years ago when I was in college, and I was in the gospel choir, and we went all over singing. And a lot of the churches that I remember going to, I'm not judging anybody because we all have our own burdens that we're trying to bear and trying to get delivered from, but a lot of the men that I saw when we were in these different choirs in Chicago and Philadelphia, the men seem to be very feminine. And I can't say that, you know, I always say just because somebody has feminine tendencies does not mean they're gay. But that was what we saw. And I want to know, could that be one of those things that run other men away? It's almost like saying real men don't go to church, which we know that's not true. But could that be a reason some people...
Sean, can you quickly respond to that?
That's going to be free to you.
Yes, I think that could be one of the things that has run men off from the church. I do believe, I think that's also one of our bigger problems in the church, because I think a lot of the men that are showing these effeminate qualities are actually just aspiring to be what they see. So I think you got young boys who necessarily aren't gay, but they're just aspiring to see. They see the minister of music being flamboyant, so they act flamboyant in order to be accepted.
Awesome.
Amen.
And that's the end of the show. As always, guys,
keep God first in your walk, baby, and that's Bonafide Talk.
Bye.
okay? They're not designing these phones to last 1 or 2 years. That's a possibility. If you hit it in just the right spot, that's hollow. That's in your phone. God knows that's it. The one that has the most protection from breaks, that's going to be this one. Well, then I'm going to stay sick with the free phone then, Mr. Cruz. Definitely. Okay. Which one you want? You want the Samsung Galaxy 610?
I have.
Stay over there. Come on. Let's take a look. You like big phones or you okay with like average size phones? All right. Reason I ask is there's a Note 5 on that a lot of people like too. Regardless, you get ready to get $25 off of whatever we got going on up here. So we'll be right back, okay? Mr. Cruz, I say something. I won this one. Didn't even know I was in a contest. This is a sharp phone to the Galaxy 6. One of the things I like about this is because I don't know how familiar you are with T-Mobile, but back in the day, if you had T-Mobile, you could sign up so that you had your own little group that you could always call Mobile to Mobile for free. It's similar to that. I got people assigned to each of these colors. That's one of the things I like about it. I just want to put that out there to you. And we'll be right back with you. Narrow down the search. What is one of the must have?
I don't really need a whole lot, but thanks for that. I've upgraded for a while. That's why I say that. I'd rather have to get the best of the
Like,
what's the deal with calling this guy right now?
Yeah, I'll say
it. Appreciate it. Is there anything else about to come out?
Not for next year. Okay. Yeah. This one and the iPhones came out at the same time. I do. Initially, I had a problem with it, but when I fell in love with it. I thought that was kind of hot.
Yeah.
I will take this. If you're concerned about drop, I will go with this one versus this one because you got three opportunities to break your phone here, here, and here. So if you're going to do a Galaxy S6, I would recommend sticking with one without a curve.
Let me ask you this. $25 off the price, thing. And it's not a 2-year contract.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's a no contract. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's how that works. And then I need to show you something real quick, too. Okay, so let's say hypothetically, you're leaning towards the Galaxy S6, right? we're going to take your current phone in, get your contacts, pictures, and videos, and still get you some money for that phone, too, even though it's broken. This time we're going to look into a screen protector for you, though. That's got a lifetime warranty on
it. I had one. I lost it when I went to go replace it. And then I had a case for it too, but
the
case is so big, like I can't stand it.
Well, then we're gonna get us a different case.
Yeah.
We'll get something that's more matched with you versus just putting something up there. Small hours. 8 a.m. to I don't know.
Somebody else something sick.
The window opens 6 a.m.
I don't know if
it's tomorrow's Christmas Eve. I think you're right. Yeah. So, you can walk out with a solid 7-point galaxy and sit for about, not including your case, string protect and all that. You walk out with about $57, and then $25 will go on that. But we're actually paying you to take the galaxy and stick from this instance. That's how it works. No contract.
How much do I get
for this? Let's see. All right. Can you go to your savings real quick for me?
I can't.
I got to be able to find some. Oh, that's ugly. Because I got to be able to find some important information to find out how much I can give you for it. Yeah, I need an IMEI number. Let me see what I can come up with. What happened to it?